Are we really eating Christ's body and blood in the Eucharist? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is the St. Joe Society Podcast. St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ as they grow strong in mind, body, and spirit. You can check us out more online at stjosesociety.org. This is St. Joseph Bootcamp, Episode 11. And the question before us today is, are we really eating Christ's body and blood in the Eucharist? In today's podcast, we're going to look at the real presence of Christ as it's presented in Scripture and in tradition. Now, last week, we took a deep dive into the Bread of Life discourse in John chapter 6. And we discovered in that study that Jesus unequivocally taught that unless we eat his flesh and drink his blood, then we don't have life within us. We also found that when he taught this difficult teaching, many of his disciples abandoned him. But St. Peter had the proper perspective when he said, "Lord, to whom shall I go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you're the Holy One of God." And one of the things I challenged with you guys last week was, if we were there in that moment, who would we be with? Would we stay with those faithful 11 apostles? Or would we abandon our Lord like his false disciples did, or like Judas would? And I challenge you guys to think, do you truly believe that Jesus has the words of eternal life? Is there really anywhere else to go? Or is Christ truly the way, the truth, and the life? Now this week, we're going to look at the real presence. Now I read John chapter 6 to my kids. At this time, they were all under the age of 10. And so I read through the Bread of Life discourse with them. And I just asked him, what do you think Jesus is talking about here? And all of my children said, he's obviously talking about the Eucharist. And of course, they're exactly right. In the Council of Trent, when a question about the Eucharist came up, the Council of Trent said this: in the Blessed Eucharist, Christ himself in his body and blood, his soul and divinity is really, truly, and substantially present under the appearance of bread and wine. Okay, so it is a matter of dogma that Jesus Christ is truly present in the Eucharist. So even though the Eucharist may look like bread, may taste like bread, may feel like bread, though the blood may taste like wine, that's truly Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Now, what I want to look at briefly today is just take a brief survey in the Scriptures on why we believe that's the case. And the way I want to do that is we're going to briefly go back to John chapter 6, though we covered it in depth last week, so we'll do that real quick. Then I want to tie that passage into the Last Supper account. And then we're going to take the Last Supper account, tie that into Christ's sacrifice on the cross, his crucifixion, and then bring these all together to show how they're related in the Mass. That's the plan of attack. And then I'll answer one objection with some quotes from tradition at the end. All right, let's jump into John chapter 6. As we discussed last week, in the first 21 verses of John 6, John's presenting Jesus as one who is greater than Moses and Elijah. So we see Jesus do two big miracles. One, he feeds the 5,000. Second, he walks on water. And what we see in both these passages is that the kinds of work Jesus does are greater than the works Moses and Elijah are. So John's presenting Jesus to us as one greater than those two, as great as they were. Now, as that passage unfolded, as we looked at last week, Jesus then juxtaposes the type of eternal bread he wants to give with the one that was given in the desert. And Jesus says this: "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the true bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread." The people around him said this: "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." Okay. And we unpacked what that meant last week. Now, how do we take that Bread of Life discourse and get to the Mass? That's what we're going to look at today in brief form. Okay, so we have the Bread of Life discourse. We're going to now fast forward to later in Christ's story to Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 through 28. In this passage, the apostles are eating the Passover meal together. Okay, as they were eating, Jesus takes bread, he blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said this: "Take and eat this bread is my body." Then he picked up a cup at the table with the wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So notice here, in John 6, Jesus says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. In the Last Supper account, Jesus is saying his flesh and his blood, he's tying into this Last Supper meal. So this is the first Mass. So this thing in his hand that used to be bread is now his body. This liquid in this cup that used to be wine is now his blood. So what he was talking about in John 6 is coming to fruition in Matthew chapter 26 at the Last Supper. Now, how do we get from the Last Supper to the cross? Okay, because it seems like a leap, like he finishes eating dinner, goes to Garden of Gethsemane, story plays on. There's actually a hint in the text that shows us that Christ is going to tie his sacrificial offering on the cross to the Last Supper. Okay, and here's the hint. In the Passover meal, there are four cups of wine that are consumed. Okay, the Passover is a ceremonial meal. It's not just sit down, put some food together, and eat. Okay, a lot of the things you eat during, there's all the ceremonial parts, and then you do eat. In the ceremony, there's four cups of wine that you have to drink. Now, when Jesus did the Last Supper with the apostles, he drank three of those cups, but he did not drink the fourth. Okay? So before you drink the fourth cup, you would sing the psalm and then drink the fourth cup. But what it says in the passage is that they sang the psalm and then they left, which means the fourth cup was not drank by our Lord, which means the Passover meal was not finished yet. Now, later that evening in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is praying and he says this, Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. So we see this reference to a cup. Now, the cup Jesus is talking about is the cup of suffering he was about to drink as he died on the cross as a sacrificial offering for our sins. And Jesus says, Lord, if it's your will to let this pass, let it pass. But he says, not my will, but yours. He's this beautiful way of Christ loving us enough to be an offering for our sins. But this cup reference is supposed to draw our minds back to that Last Supper. So where does Jesus drink this fourth cup? Okay, the fourth cup is drunk from the cross itself. Right before Jesus dies, they offer him wine and things to drink, and he keeps saying no. And then right before he dies, he says he thirsts. And they raise up a sponge with wine on it. And Jesus says in the passage in John 19 says this, when Jesus had received the wine, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and delivered over his spirit. Notice here that Jesus drinks that fourth cup on the cross. And as soon as he drinks it, then he dies because his work is done. What we see in this passage is that the Last Supper meal is tied in to the cross itself. This is where we get the concept that the Mass is not only a meal, which it is, but it's most importantly a sacrifice. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 says this, the cup of blessing, he's talking about the Mass, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? So the cup in the Mass, this is the blood of Christ. We're participating in it. The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Notice St. Paul saying this bread and wine, the Mass, we are participating in the body and blood of our Lord. Okay. In the book Apologetics and Catholic Doctrine by Archbishop Michael Sheehan, it's a great book, definitely worth picking up. He says this, Christ at the Last Supper instituted a sacrificial rite as a memorial and representation of his death on the cross. The sacrificial rite is the Mass. The Mass is a true sacrifice. The same sacrifice is that of the cross, but without the bloodshed. As when you go to Mass, you are participating in Christ's body and blood. You are participating in a true sacrifice. Which sacrifice? Well, there's only been one for sins. And so you're participating in the same sacrifice as Christ did on the cross. It's just unbloody. This is why it's so important that when we approach the tabernacle, when we come into Mass, that when we're genuflecting with our mind and our heart and with our body, that we do so reverently because of who is present in the tabernacle. And then the Mass itself is the sacrifice of our Lord. Now, what you might hear, you might run into people and say, okay, that's all fine and good, but this whole real presence stuff was made up by the church, like in the medieval period with Thomas Aquinas writing books about it. Okay, you're going to run into people that are going to question this. Let me be very blunt. Belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist was believed from the beginning. Now, it is true that the church took time to kind of unpack it and shed light on it, okay, to bring it to better understanding. But from the beginning, everybody believed that Christ was truly present. And I'm just going to read you two quotes from early church fathers. You could find a ton of these online if you want, but I just pulled two for time's sake. The first is from St. Ignatius of Antioch. Now, St. Ignatius of Antioch died in 107. He, according to tradition, was a disciple of John, the Apostle John, like the one that wrote John. Okay, here's what he said. The Eucharist is the flesh of the Savior Jesus Christ, flesh which suffered for our sins and which the Father in his goodness raised up again. Holy cow. A disciple of John, we have his writings. He said, no, the Eucharist is Jesus. How about St. Justin Martyr? He died in 167. He said this, we take this not as ordinary bread nor as ordinary drink, but just as Jesus Christ, our Savior, had flesh and blood for our salvation, so have we been taught that the food consecrated by the word of prayer coming from him is the flesh and blood of that Jesus who was made flesh. Now, these are I just pulled two. You can find plenty more. From the beginning, every Christian believed that Jesus was truly present. Okay, the early Romans used to say that Christians were cannibals. Okay, so they'd eat each other's flesh and stuff because they misunderstood what the Mass was. From the beginning, the church believed in the real presence. It's testified in John chapter 6, Matthew chapter 26, St. Paul in 1 Corinthians, and then we see clear quotes from the church fathers as well. Now, I want to end with a practical application, okay? Jesus is truly present in the tabernacle. The Mass we go to every Sunday is the true sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ in an unbloody manner, but it's the same one. How should we be presenting ourselves before this awesome reality? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 through 29, okay, the Corinthians weren't great dudes, okay? They had a lot of problems in the church. They were not approaching the tabernacle. They were not approaching the Mass properly. And here's what St. Paul said to them. Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. Guys, these are hard words. St. Paul says when we eat of the bread unworthily, it's like we're profaning the body and blood of the Lord. It's like he's being crucified all over again, okay, for our sins. Guys, when we take the bread and drink the cup unworthily, okay, we're drinking judgment on ourselves. Guys, it is incredibly important that when we approach that tabernacle for Mass, okay, this month's challenge is genuflecting properly with the eyes, the mind, the heart, and the body. It's a small sacrifice on our end that when you genuflect, you take your time, even if it's 6 seconds, but you're all involved. Why? Because of who's present at the tabernacle. Because you're approaching the throne of glory. Because you're about to attend the sacrificial offering of the Mass. Guys, we need to prepare ourselves the night before for this. We need to prepare ourselves that morning. We need to do the best we can to turn our minds to these awesome truths because our Lord deserves it. I hope you guys have an awesome week. Look forward to seeing you next week. God bless.